Bible, man, this is the Word of God, only place where a body can find the Word of God today. God is there, and God has spoke the world, the universe in which we live, into being, and of course still speaks today. Not some a psychedelic voice in your head, but clearly and distinctly from the Bible. That's the Word of God. It's where you go to hear the voice of God, and of course to hear the message of His grace, His love, and His power that He's made known for men and women such as you and I today. So you'd like to hear the voice of God, well, you read the Bible, read it out loud, and of course you'll hear the voice of God. But you'd like, maybe you haven't got one, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word. This is a good starter, Mark's Gospel, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like to have one, you come and ask for one. It's the Word of God offered freely to you. Your stake can do with as you will. Come to bring the message of God's great love for the world. That's the gospel, really, in a nutshell. You've heard it before, I know. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Doesn't have to. We're already condemned, self-condemned, because of our sinful natures and course. But God sent His Son into the world to save the world. And of course, the problem is that you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. That's why you don't know, that is, having experienced, tasted the love of God, which of course you could freely do today, were you to but turn from your unbelief, trust in Jesus, in what He is, His person, and what He has done. So I come, no disturbance, no threat, no anger, no rage, and no hostility, and just simply to tell you the old story of God's love. Jesus loves you, this I know, because the Bible, it tells me so. And I just here, tell you, do you no harm, just simply tell you, explain to you the love of God, and of course how you yourself can become a recipient of God's love. Even today, in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus, the Son of God. God so loved you, He sent Jesus to save you. You personally, you individually. God so loved you, He sent Jesus to save you. Will you not be saved? Will you not be rescued from your greatest known danger that lurks within you? Your sin, friends, the world is destroying you and will destroy you eternally if you don't get rid of it. And the only person, the only one who can take it away is Jesus. That's why He died on the cross, so that your sin might be taken away, that it not destroy you eternally. So friends, do repent today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved from your sin and its full, final, consummate consequences. Word of God to you today is from the book of Romans. Listen up, friends, if you will. You see, because you need to see, you need to see it just at the right time, says God. just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, friends, at just the right time, says God, when we were powerless, without power, impotent, you know, lost and ruined, damaged by sin, and without the power, of course, to save and to rescue ourselves. Because here's the thing, friends, you know, that the cross of Jesus declares two things very, very emphatically. One is this, that all men need to be saved, and secondly, that no man can save himself. Because you see, friends, we're powerless, and that's why God sent His Son at just the right time. When we were powerless, and still powerless, impotent, unable to lift one finger, to save, to rescue ourselves from the ravages and the damages that sin has done to us, to our world, to our nation, our families, our friends, and of course you, yourself personally. Isn't it true, friends? We fight and struggle, we toil and labor to overcome, you know, certain and particular sins that we've gotten involved in, sinful habits, you know, that have gripped us, keep us in bondage, you know, and we strive, you know, to get free from them. We try all kinds of tricks, you know, all kinds of psychobabble, but we can't get the breaking of those sinful habits, sinful powers that have gripped our souls. And friends, that's because there's a greater power at work within us. Every single one of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, friends, there's a powerful force at work within your nature, a sin nature, a sinful addiction, you see. And friends, you cannot break the power, cancel the power of sin. God's Son, Jesus Christ, had to come and live and love and die and rise again from the dead to make that a possibility. So God, you see, seeing us in our pathetic, seeing us in our powerless condition, at just the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. A person, you see, was just talking to a man just a few moments ago, telling me that his family are Muslim, but he does not follow any religion. He sees the emptiness, he sees the meaninglessness of all these world religions, so he doesn't follow any of them. And rightly so, because you see, friends, in any, not one of the world religions around you, there's not an ounce of salvation. There's not an ounce of power in any of them, because God's not in them. God's not in them, friends. He's only in the gospel. He's only in the good news concerning His Son, Jesus. And of course, God saw. He saw a world of men and women, you know, wrapped up in and involved in powerless world religions that can't save them. And so He sent His Son Jesus Christ, who died for the ungodly. You see, a person, not a religion, Jesus. People keep asking me, you know, what religion I am, what religion I follow. I'm not religious, and I don't preach religion. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I accept His word, His written word that you find in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament of the Bible.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. You too. Good on you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Christ evangelism is a person, you see, not a religion. Christ Jesus, who is the Son of God, and who is proved, evidenced to be the Son of God by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God. It's Christ that you need, it's a person. It's Jesus that you need. God, the Bible does not say God sent Buddha into the world to rescue it. The Bible does not say God sent Confucius into the world. The Bible does not say God sent the popes into the world that through them that you might be saved. The Bible does not say God sent Muhammad into the world that through him you might be saved. The Bible says God sent his Son. God sent Jesus into the world that through him that you might be saved. Christ, you see, a person is Jesus that you need. It's He who came, He who lived and died and rose again from the dead to save sinners like you and I. So you see, friends, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly, for men and women lost in a sinful nature, born conceived in sin, and sinners by nature, and so therefore sinners by practice. You only do what comes natural, don't you? And sin is natural to you because you're a sinner by nature. So the nature has to be changed, you see. And, well, it takes more than religion to change a person's nature. That takes a miracle from God. Why, Jesus says you must be born again, you see. The miracle of the new birth. God, you see, by His grace, breaking into the hearts and lives of men and women, you see, and giving them new natures, making them new creatures in Jesus Christ. But such is the vastness, the immensity of the love of God, you see, in sending Jesus to perform this for us that we could not perform ourselves. You see, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. We hear about soldiers, don't we? Military personnel, very, very brave. Sometimes they yield, they give up their life for their fellow soldiers. Amazing, huh? Sometimes some, you know, really would, you know, give up their lives, you know, for a buddy, a military buddy, you know, somebody that you really like, you know, you think, you esteem to be a good person. You would maybe just, hiya, how you doing, son? Have a nice day, eh? So like you say, friends, you know, for somebody you estimate to be a good person. But here's the thing, friends. God says there's none good, not even one. None of us. We're all rotten sinners. We're all ruined sinners. But here's the thing. Christ died. Not for good people, not for righteous people, but for the ungodly. For people who are separated from God as a result of their sinful courses, as a result of their iniquities. Christ died, you see, for such ungodly people, that they might be saved. That they might be saved from their sin. That they might be saved from their greatest and known danger, that of their sinful natures and the practice that comes from those sinful natures. So there you see, God demonstrates the demonstration of the love of God, His own love for us, for you that is here today, that while you are still sinners, He doesn't send you off to tidy up your life, you know, to reform yourself, become a good person, you know, and then I'll accept you. No, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you see, friends, it's been done. It's been done. The job's been done. The work has been done. Not your work, not mine, not anything you and I can do, contribute to, absolutely nothing to offer God, we come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, He who has finished the work, done all that was necessary in coming, in living, in loving, in dying, and in rising again from the dead, in order that you might be made right before God, and in order that you might be approved by God, and that you might be accepted by God, right with God for time and for eternity. This is the gospel, dear friend. How marvelous, how wonderful, I declare to you today, is the love of God in Jesus Christ, His own love, demonstrated in this, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Displayed, you see, in man's redemption by the gift of Jesus. By the gift of Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, whom I'm declaring to you here today. It's the gift of God, it's your gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be religious for it, respectable for it, upright for it. You don't have to pay for it. In fact, you cannot. It's a gift. It's a sheer gift. It's the gift of God, you see? To those who will repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A free gift, you see? And it's received, you see, by the hand of faith, you know, reached out, stretched out, you know, to God, and receiving His love in Jesus Christ. Oh, how marvelous! You won't hear this anywhere else, I tell you, in the world. You won't hear it in your world's religions. Or you'll hear of plenty of anger and rage and hostility and division. But it's the love of God that you need, friends. And only in the gospel, only in the good news concerning Jesus, is the love of God to be had, to be found. Nowhere else. Only in Jesus is utterly, and it is absolutely exclusive. Jesus Himself, who is Lord, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one gets right with God except by me. See? No other name. No one else. No one else's name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby where a person can be saved. The name of Jesus alone. Oh, how marvelous, I tell you, is the love of God. Have you tasted it? Are you in love with God? Do you love Jesus? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Oh, His marvelous, marvelous love. That's what I've come to tell you about today. Because love, you see, covers a multitude of sins. Love triumphs. Love overcomes everything. Love will overcome the hatred in men's hearts, the hostility. It will overcome everything. The love of God triumphs, and the love of God revealed to you and for you. This is what you were made for, to be loved and to love. To be loved by God and to love Him and to love your neighbor. That's the sum, you see, of God's law, His holy commandments. But here's the amazing, here's the astonishing thing, my friends, that Christ, that Jesus, that the Son of God, He died not for good people, not for righteous people. He died for criminals. He died for worthless criminals. Because that's what we all are before God without Jesus. Just worthless criminals, vagabonds, who have broken, who have crushed the law of God, paid no heed to God, neglected and rejected His overtures of love all the days of our lives until now. And oh, friends, oh, that Christ, that the Son of God, and that God Himself, in His own love, should send His own Son to die pray for such as you and I, that you might be healed, restored to God, that you might be made righteous through Him, who knew no sin, but became sin, was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him and Jesus. So I commend to you the love of God, you who are the object of God's love. If that is, you would believe, repent and believe the gospel. Sinners, the objects of God's love. Sinners, you have broken God's law. Sinners who have apostatized from God, who have walked away from God, from this relationship for which you are made. God made you for this, to relate with and to God, to have friendship with God. You see it? But in bringing sin into the world, one man brought sin and death to all humanity. The sin disease, you see, the apostasy, it carries on from one generation to another. Sinful parents beget sinful children, and so it goes on and will continue on till the end. And our dear friends, it is but one way out, and that's the love of God in Jesus, who came to heal this broken relationship, separated from God as a result of your iniquities, your rebellion, your apostasy, you see, from God. God sent His Son Jesus to heal the breach, you see, to bring you, to fetch you back to God from the dark path of sin, you see, and to make you right with God, to bring you to that place of reconciliation. This is the love of God, you see. This is the love of God. Sinners who are actually hostile to God. Here's the reason God says in His Word, in the Bible, you see, that you cannot obey God's commandments because you've got this nature in you that's hostile to God, and therefore not subject to God, to His law, or to anything of God's. Hatred, you see, in your heart towards God. You're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or a supernaturally reborn God lover. No man, no woman ever loved God until they were born again. You must, Jesus says, be born again, you see. The nature changed from hostility to love, hating what you once loved, sin that is, your sinful course, and of course, loving what you once hated, God that is. But the sinful mind, the Bible says, the natural mind of men and women as they're born into this world is hostile against God. But here's the astonishing, here's the amazing thing about God's love, His own love. At just the right time, when we were powerless in this terrible hostility against God, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for such ungodly creatures, hostile creatures, enemies of God. Because of that sinful nature in which you were born, you see. Sinners who have incurred the wrath of God as a result of this. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, the Bible says, against unrighteous and wicked men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in wickedness. But you see, friends, it's... What do you want? You see, God's love is amazing, astonishing love, friends, you know. That He should send, you know, His Son to die for men and women who have rightly incurred, you see, His displeasure, His holy displeasure. Because, you see, of our suppression of the truth that is of the knowledge of God. And we do this, you know, in unrighteousness and wickedness as God. You know, man, they claim to be, they use things like evolution, you know? And then they use all kinds of nonsensical, man-made philosophies, you know, seeking to escape from God, seeking to suppress the truth of the knowledge of God that they have. Because here's the thing, you see, friends, that God says, you know that He is, God knows, you see, He has shown it to you, made it plain to you, and He says that you even understand it. You know that God is, but you suppress that truth in unrighteousness, in wickedness, in unbelief. And therefore, as a result of that, the wrath of God is being revealed against you, against all such people who do such things, those who propagate the message of evolution, those who teach it to children and to students and to adults, those who indoctrinate men and women the world over with the poison of evolution. The wrath of God, you see, is against us. Burning furiously against them because of such unrighteous, wicked philosophies of men. But here's the astonishing thing, that Christ died for such people. That God, while we were still powerless, sent His Son Jesus into the world to die for such people, that they might be brought out from under the wrath and displeasure of God and brought into the love of God that surpasses knowledge. It's indescribable, but it is accessible through Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, who died for the ungodly. Sinners, to a man, to a woman, who are without a plea, not one argument, not one apologetic, not one defense for your unbelief, for your so-called atheism. You haven't got a plea, you haven't got a leg to stand on. And here's the thing, friends, you will not stand before God, I tell you, in that day, and say with surprise, you know, and awe, oh, I didn't know that you were. I thought evolution was true. If I'd known, I wouldn't have believed it. It won't be like that at all, because you'll stand before the God whom you knew all your life long that He was. When a child is born, before it knows anything, it knows that God is. And you know that He is. But you see, you try to escape Him. You try to suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in your unrighteousness, thinking to yourself that that enables you, that that loosens you to live your life as you sinfully decree, as you think you can with impunity. But you cannot. It's because of this and many, many other things that the displeasure of God is arrayed against you. So friends, the love of God, you see, is sending His Son while you were powerless, unable to lift a finger to save and to deliver yourself from the unbelief, from the holy displeasure of God arrayed against you. God, in His own love, in the immensity of His love, sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross in order that you might be reconciled to God, in order that you might be made one with God. This reconciliation, you see, it has already been made, the Bible says, that Christ has made peace by the blood of His cross. But that peace has to be received by you willingly. It has to be received by you consciously in faith, believing in the Son of God. You will be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and you cannot enter the kingdom of God but by repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no other way, friends. No other way. I am the way, says Jesus, into the kingdom of God's love, the kingdom of His grace, the kingdom of His forgiveness. There is no other way. If you have religion without a blood sacrifice, you're still in your sin. You're still in your sin. You might be also religious and devoted to your religion, but dear friends, without a blood sacrifice, you're still in your sin. The prophet Moses, in the law, he says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, the Lamb of God, in the Angel, in the Gospels. The Lamb of God, He takes away the sin of the world. God, in the immensity of His love, has sent His Son Jesus to die so that we could be washed, forgiven, our sins taken away. Are you still in your sin? Are your sins forgiven? This is the heart of the gospel, friends, that there is forgiveness with God, but only one way, God's way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So friends, Jesus, Son of God, sent into the world in the love of God for those who are objects, one time objects of the wrath of God. It can all be turned round and you become the object of God's love by reception of Jesus, the gospel, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. And of course, that's the evidence, is it not, of the great love of God, the person of Jesus, through whom that love is expressed. He who came. You can read John 3:16 a different way. You can read it this way, that Jesus so loved the world that He came and died and rose again from the dead, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The person of Jesus, the lovely, lovely Son of God. He loved sinners. He who came, you know, and walked the face of this earth, rubbed shoulders with the vilest and most wicked of men, abused at their hands, taken and nailed to a cross, and while He was dying, praying for those who had so abused and crucified Him, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. Oh, do you know such love as this? Do you know any other person who would love you in that way and to that degree? The person of Jesus. He is the one who has expressed, manifested the love of God for vile, wretched sinners such as you and I. The person of Jesus. He is, you see, He's the epitome of God. Bible says He's the exact representation of God's being. You want to know what God's like? Then you look to Jesus. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See Jesus, and you see God. His love, His passion, His purity, His power, His dying, expressing, manifesting to you, a sinner, undone, separated from God, manifesting God's own love to you. And of course, the act which exhibited God's love, God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the act. Not just that he died physically. Not just simply, you know, that he suffered physically. Bad enough though that was. Not just the nails. Not just the crown of thorns. Not just the spear in his wounded side. But friends, bearing, taking the wrath of God, the judgment of God that was due to a world of ruined sinners, Jesus took it all upon himself. The atonement has been made. The reconciliation has been made. The work has been done for the sins of the world. But of course, if you reject it, if you refuse to accept it, if you neglect it, then of course the reconciliation will never be yours. Never be yours. It must needs be received, I tell you, consciously, deliberately, in faith, in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus here, who performed the act of reconciliation. He who died for sinners, dear friends, and the benefits, all the benefits that those who believe receive, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of their hearts, you see, absolved before God, reconciled to God. And of course, as a result of that, peace with God. Peace with God. You all like to get a whole bunch of likes, don't you? You know, on your Facebook account, when you get a whole bundle of likes on your Facebook, doesn't it please you? Doesn't it make you happy? Oh, I got 100 likes today on my post. But friends, does God like you? Does God approve of you? Does God accept you? Does God receive you? Have you got God's like? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Leading, of course, to the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So you see, friends, peace with God, joy, eternal, everlasting happiness that no one can take away from you, hope that does not disappoint. All of these treasures come from believing the gospel, believing in Jesus. You can't buy them. You won't get them from religion. You won't get them from atheism. You won't get them from nowhere else but Jesus, who died for sinners. This is the love of God for people like you and I. Oh, friends, pardon, eternal life. Eternal life. That how you would describe yourself today as someone with eternal, abundant life in your soul today? Or is it just the same usual, round and round, the never-ending circles, a boring, humdrum existence? Or do you have the life of God in your soul? Have you been born again to eternal life? I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly, more fully, says Jesus. Is that you? Fullness of life, abundance of life. Eternal life is more than just, you know, life that never ends. That's included. But a quality of life here and now in this world, because you're being reconciled to God. Because you got friendship with God, because you walk with God, because you do His will, because you obey His commands, but you cannot do this. As long as you're hostile to God, in a state of apostasy, under the wrath of God. Friends, but one way, repent, sir. Repent, Mr. Bandana, repent and believe the gospel. While you got the breath of life in you, get rid of that rage, sir. Get rid of that hostility, it'll damn you. Repent and believe the gospel, friends.
No, sure.
Repent and believe the gospel, ma'am. Well, you got the breath of life in you. So the consequence, you see, of the love of God and sending Jesus while we were powerless, you know, having Him die for the world of lost sinners, the result, you see, the consequence of faith is a man or woman right with God, justified, is how the Bible puts it, made right, you see, because you're wrong. That's why Jesus had to come, because we all be wrong. And we need making right. And the only one who can make you right with God is Jesus, and that's why He died and why He rose again from the dead, to make you right with God. And all that's left for a sinner such as you to do is simply and only to believe. The gospel, that is, to trust in what Jesus has done, not in what you do, not in what you can do. Oh, you see, I'm waiting for some miracle. I'm waiting for God to do something. Oh, supernatural, mighty, then I'll believe. No, you won't. No, you won't. Bible says, if you will not believe Moses and the prophets, if you will not believe the Bible, you will not believe at all. You wait for a miracle, you'll die and go to hell first before it comes. This is a wicked, adulterous generation that seeks after shines. You don't need miracles. Even if one were to rise from the dead, you would not believe, says God. You still wouldn't believe. If you won't believe the Bible, you won't believe at all. And you won't be justified, made right with God, only through faith in the promise of God, revealed in the Word of God, in the Bible. That's the only way. It's the only pathway to rightness with God. Saved from eternal death. Because that's the alternative, friends. That's the only alternative to eternal life. Eternal death. Dying forever. Oh, it's not that you're extinct. It's not that you're annihilated. It's not that you seek to exist. In 50 million years, your soul will still be in existence. But in hell, in the torments of hell, that's where, not a drive-by heckler, in the torments of hell forever, eternal death, eternally dying in the misery of your sin, never to be separated from it, a hellish hovel instead of a heavenly mansion. Eternal death, that's the only alternative to eternal life. If you will not have eternal life, if you will not believe, if you think yourself not worthy of eternal life, well then carry on. Carry on your own sweet way. But I warn you, I tell you, and love warns of the wrath to come, of the eternal death that will be visited upon you if you do not repent and believe the gospel and receive the love of God in Jesus Christ. So you see, friends, you must needs be born again, or else you remain for all eternity an enemy of God. But while we were still enemies, not friends, but enemies of God, Christ died for us, for people, for men and women such as you and I. But ah, dear friends, you got to remain an enemy of God for the rest of your days. You got to remain an enemy of God for all eternity. Oh, it's not, friends, it's not that God's not present in hell. He is present, very, very present. But in the fullness and in the fury of His burning and eternal wrath. That's hell. An enemy of God forever and ever and ever. Unless God is.
Thank you.
Unless you repent and believe the gospel, unless you turn from your sin, but oh friends, the love of God, while you are still powerless, unable to lift a finger to do anything for yourself, Christ died for sinners like you, that you might repent, that you might believe, that you might be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. By God's own love demonstrated in the gospel and nowhere else. So I call upon you again today, Leicester City, to repent and believe the gospel. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Today, friends, today. And receive the love, the forgiveness, the eternal life that God has for those who will. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you, free of charge, without any cost, any obligation to you, yours take and do with as you will. It's the Word of God, able to make a person wise for salvation. Come and take one, ask for one, gladly give it to you. But friends, remember, the first recorded words of Jesus here in Mark's Gospel, repent and believe the Gospel, for the kingdom of God is near. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Come and ask for one. May God bless you.